What a gifted and talented worship team that we had. That was beautiful. Yeah. How are you at waiting? Anybody yet not open their Christmas gifts? Wow. Obviously, this crew over here wasn't raised in my house. Wow. My family actually likes that we're in ministry because we don't wait till Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We usually open like the day before Christmas Eve because we're very busy Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. You know, a number of years ago, a test was done on four-year-old children. Wanted to study the effects of children and their personalities, those who could wait or not wait. It's called the marshmallow test. They gave a number of four-year-olds a marshmallow. They put it in front of them, and they said, if you wait 20 minutes, and here's the clock, you can watch the clock of the four-year-olds, 20 minutes, does that mean like 3 years? They said, 20 minutes, when that hand gets to the, that would be the two. If you don't eat it and you wait till then, you will get three more marshmallows. So you can have one and eat it before that, or wait and get three more. 80% of the children ate the marshmallow and didn't wait to get three more. I mean, what a return that is if you would have waited. And then they followed these children for a number of years into their teen years and did a study on those who wait and those who didn't. I'm not going to tell you the results. I think they came back after the study and said, yeah, we're not sure this is really accurate. But how would you or your family do with the marshmallow test? Our family would pass with raving colors because marshmallows are just not our thing. Can we talk about dark chocolate? There's a certain lady who's in kids' church this morning, and not only would she have eaten her chocolate, she would have batted her four-year-old eyes at all the other children and got them to give her her dark chocolate. Our children are going, what about you, Dad? Throw yourself under the bus. Well, I'm very patient a lot of things. Except driving. And so they know we will take care of potty breaks before we get on the road because Dad may not stop. He wants to get to where he wants to get to. My parents tell a story. I don't believe it. They say that I used to take Christmas gifts and shake them, try to figure out what they were under the tree. They actually said, we know that you took off the tape, you pulled out the thing, you saw what it was, you put it back, you may even played for a little while, put it back, taped it back up. My memory's foggy. I don't remember that, but it could be true because I think it was passed on to Lexi, that DNA. And now Victoria. Last night, even, she received one of those Instamatic cameras. You know, back in the day, that's kind of all we had. You know, the picture comes out. Well, somebody thought it would be very helpful for her to have that to go to Guatemala. You know, she goes twice a year. And to leave a picture with the kids in Guatemala was a great idea. So they needed to get the camera going and practiced it. And it came out, and then she started, like, shaking it. Blowing it. We said, I don't think that helps. You just have to wait. It's doing its chemical thing. And she's saying, okay. She waited 3 seconds and then started doing it again and blowing and blowing. So, I threw our family under the bus. How are you at waiting? I think there's all something that we struggle with in waiting. Some of you here this morning, you have been praying. Oh, you've been calling out to God. You've been waiting and waiting for a desire in your heart to see it come to fruition. This morning, we're going to take a look at a man. His name is Simeon from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And this man waited well. You know, you can wait and not well. Ever like moan and fret and, okay, I'm waiting. Waiting. You know, there's waiting well. Take your time. It's okay. That's what I tell my kids. What time do you want to get on the road? I'll say 11. But in my head, it's 11:15. So I've just said, I tell them 11. but 11:15 is what I'm comfortable with. So if they come down by 11:10, I'm going, hey, girls, great, good job. We're not late. See, they don't know the mind game I played in my head. I actually may be lying, but, you know, I don't know. But Simeon waited well. And wherever you're waiting for on the Lord, we can learn some things this morning. How to wait well. Look with me at chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came to the Spirit, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Well, looking again now at verse 25, one characteristic of waiting well is Simeon was surrendered to the Spirit of God. And how do we know that? It was revealed by his righteousness and his devotion. Because we can say to ourselves, oh, I'm walking with God. How you doing? Oh, I'm walking well. Yep, me and God, we're good. But then in our hearts, we're all bound up. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And what's the opposite of those things? It's running through your head right now. And that's how we know. If we're yielded to the Spirit, or we're not. Because what's really in our heart in that moment, is it our flesh? Our normal, natural bent? Our flesh? Or is it the Spirit of Christ that seals and enters into a believer who wants to lead us in the character of Jesus Christ? Simeon waited well. We see he was surrendered. So we have this man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. This man was righteous. Notice it doesn't say perfect. Simeon wasn't perfect. Anna, who's spoken about in a few verses after Simeon, wasn't perfect. Mary wasn't perfect. Joseph wasn't perfect. But they were righteous. Bible tells us that Elizabeth and Zechariah were righteous. Is that there was something, an intentional part of their lives, where they say, I am going to live right for the glory of God. Not because my neighbor's watching. Not because the rabbi or the priest or the pastor who's going to show up in my door and take an inventory. But because of my conscience toward God. That I believe on Him. I love Him. I want to honor Him. I will live rightly. It's having Him before us all the time. You know, there's one of our values as a church. It's loving God. And when we walk through that in our 101 class, we talk about worship. And we say here, worship is not what we've just done. It's not singing. Singing is beautiful. It's a part of worship. It's a part of lifts up our hearts. But worship is thinking on someone or something and saying that person is worthy of worship. We ought to be doing that every believer 24/7. Every decision being vetted through. God, does this please you? What I'm about to say, what I'm about to do, just honoring to you. Simeon had that down pretty well. He was righteous, conscientious, and careful in his faithfulness. We also see he was devout. He was who he was. No guile, no hypocrisy. When he blew it, he owned it. Wasn't defensive, wasn't self-righteous. Yep, I blew it. He was devout, committed. He understood God's ways, his principles, and as best he could, he followed through. So one of the ways to wait well, surrender to the Spirit. And then we noticed he waited. He had a hopeful expectation. He didn't see it. He didn't know it. Just like the many who came before him were waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah. Notice he had a hopeful expectation for what? For the consolation of Israel. That all that God had shared and prophesied through the ages was going to come. Would it be today? Would the Messiah come today? The incredible prophecies of Isaiah. Is it going to be happening today? When would he come? And he had this hopeful expectation. He wasn't giving up. Woke up every morning and said, maybe it's today. That governs the way you live and the way you think. God's promise to me. What God has spoken to my heart about, is it coming today? A hopeful expectation. You know, personal story. A number of years ago, when I met Danielle, worked in Manhattan. He's a business guy. We quickly, you know, fell in love and began to date, court. It was on again, off again, because I was a new believer. And there were some things in my life that weren't right. Couldn't balance them out well. And so that on-again, off-again relationship, her parents watched from afar. It was one, she was 23. I was a bit older, 29. And so we, as they observed and watched that, they were like, you know, who is this guy? What's really going to go on here? We got married. 3 years later, God worked out those things. And then I shared with him 3 months after we were married, because it was in the midst of a service like this. God spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to go to seminary, learn the Bible really well. Wasn't to be a pastor. So I think I would have said, yeah, no, I'm not doing that, God. Which would have been a mistake. But at that time, he revealed to me what he wanted me to know at that time. I turned to that young lady. We married 3 months. And all she knew was, well, this guy's in business. What he's going to be. That's what I signed up for. Said, I think God's calling us. Go to seminary. He said, I'm with you. By your side. Whatever he says, wherever he says, we'll go. And that's been the journey of our life. But when I told her parents, she said, good luck communicating that to my mother. I'm going to pull their youngest baby daughter away. At that time, we were thinking we're going to California to Golden Gate Seminary. We went 2 weeks later. Was accepted and ready to go that September. So July, God said go. End of August, we were ready to go. Had money down, an apartment. And before that, sat with her parents. And I told them, I was bracing for her mother to say, really? She got a smile on her face. She was all excited. And she ran into her room, her bedroom, pulled out a prayer journal from when Danielle was 17 years old, and God had told her in a time of prayer, your daughter will marry a man who will one day be in vocational ministry, and you will be by his side in vocational ministry. So God had told her that at this time now, she's 25, 8 years earlier. She never told her husband, and she never told Danielle. She didn't want to influence either one of them to what God had told her in her heart. She told a prayer partner, and they prayed regularly on that. So she meets me, and she knows where I'm at, and she's going, that is not ministry material. But she waited, and she waited, and I think she's still waiting, but she waited. That's an example of waiting well. And you see what God brings about. God has said something to your heart. Wait well. Pray. Trust Him. You never know what's right around the corner. Secondly, we see the Spirit was on Him, or even before we go to the second, and the Holy Spirit was upon Him. He had these messianic hopes, and the Spirit of God in that day came upon people. You know what the Scripture says? He comes inside of people today. He dwells, inhabits, seals, marks as his own, those who hear on Christ, receive and believe on Him, they are sealed by God's Holy Spirit for eternal life. And so here is Simeon, and God's Spirit was upon him. Secondly, he was sensitive to the Spirit. He didn't just sit back and say, okay, Lord, I'm waiting. He listened to the Lord and he served the Lord. He was sensitive to God's Spirit. There was contentment as he waited. He said, Lord, I'm going to wait. And he had a contented heart. Notice in verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he was given this revelation, this sense from God that, you know what? God's saying, you are going to still physically be alive. And I'm giving you this assurance in your heart, and you will see the Messiah. The consolation of Israel, the Messiah who would come and begin to do that work, you'll see him. And Simeon, he waited. He was sensitive. He heard the Spirit of God. Why? Because he was a praying man. And he was a man who was in the Scripture. That's how you and I hear from God. When there's stressful times, when there's anxious times, our propensity is to want to go fix it. To not get on our knees, but to go and take care of it. That's my bent. I've had to learn, and I'm still learning. No, go first onto my knees. Seek Christ. Seek God. Let peace reside. Let peace. Be sensitive, John. Listen to the Lord in your weakness, in the confusion, where you're lacking. What to know? Well, this is a crisis. Somebody's got to step up and put out the fire. And God's saying, step back. Let me lead. Be listening. How do I know when you're speaking? He says, you know where I speak. I speak through my word. But Lord, when I open it up, I'm frazzled. I'm stressed. I'm anxious. I can't concentrate. He goes, well, you know what to do. You read it out loud to yourself. And you know, before you open it up and read it out loud to yourself, you pray and you say, Lord, help me to hear from you. Help me to see you. Help me, Lord, to just be patient and to wait in your spirit to speak to me in my weakness and in my stressfulness. And can I tell you, he shows up. He speaks. Sometimes he gives the answer. You know what sometimes it is? It's just peace. And he says, no answer yet. Are you content to wait? Hopefully, yes. And we see in verse 27, and he came into the Spirit, or he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the Christ child to do for him according to the custom of the law, and that was, he would provide a blessing to them. Mary waited her 40 days for purification. It was a part of the Old Testament law. Jesus came and he fulfilled, and his parents fulfilled every part of that law. And so they came in, and Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God. So he did his work. He did his service as he waited with contentment. And so as you and I wait on the Lord, be sensitive to him. Continue to serve him well until you wait, until that which he has spoken to your heart will come about. Thirdly, he was satisfied by God's answer and sobered by what must take place. Because now as he saw the Christ, that part of the dream, the vision had been fulfilled. All of a sudden, God unfolded for him more. Oh, the consolation of Israel is coming. The Messiah is here. I'm letting you physically see him, but here's the rest of the story. And here he shares that with Mary and with Joseph. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. In other words, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be with you in paradise, in heaven, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. And that's Jesus. He is God's salvation for every single human being. It's not our striving. It's his striving, what he did on this earth. And he strained and he kept going forward. Jesus did to that cross to accomplish the work so you and I don't have to work for our eternal life and for our salvation. He did the work. And he came miraculously as a human being. And so we see a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And so here Jesus was for all people. A Gentile is somebody who's not a Jew. A whole world outside of the Jews. And the Jews were a special people that God had called, set apart for himself. And they still are today. And the great majority do not bow to their Messiah, Jesus. But there is a remnant, has always been a remnant. The first hundreds and thousands of believers were Jews who yielded to the Jewish Messiah. And then as the greater majority of Jews would not turn to him, the door opened for the gospel to the Gentiles. And yet there were Gentiles even early on who were coming. And Simeon knew this. Not only is he coming for Israel, but he's coming as a light. And last night we spent a significant amount of time in John chapter 1 looking and understanding this light. The genuine, pure, truthful, penetrating light like no other light. Brighter than the sun, who would pierce a heart, show a heart. You have need of a Savior, of a Redeemer. Look at your heart. I'm showing you your heart. And I'm not burning you up. No. It's a heart that shows you your great need for a Savior, for Jesus Christ, the Lord. So bow, yield to Him today while you have breath. And what happens? Heaven's yours starting at that moment. But also, my direction, my peace, my light to navigate you as you wait in this life. And that's the beauty of Christ. It's the reminder of what we receive at Christmas. And Simeon was communicating this to Jesus' mother and to his stepfather, Joseph. For his father was his father, God. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. They pondered in wonderment, what could all of this mean? And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Joseph, there's no accounting of him in the beginning of Jesus' ministry at 30 years old up until his death at 33 to that cross. And so he most likely, people would say, scholars would say, he passed, he died. And so that's why even Simeon, knowing that, because God revealed it to him, would focus his attention on Mary, who was alive during his earthly ministry from 30 to 33, and actually would behold the crucifixion. And he would say to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed, this child is destined. This child has a plan and a purpose appointed for him. Do you know you do? And I do as well. But for him, for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. People respond to Jesus in one of two ways. They will fall because they oppose him and reject him and say, I will not yield and surrender to him. Or they will be risen up by God, because they humble themselves. In a way, they humble themselves. They fall themselves in their heart. I surrender to you, Jesus. That's huge, to surrender. To say, I know what I want from my life. I have a plan and purpose. And God says, mine is better. Where has yours taken you up to this point? God says, have you yielded and trusted me? I mean, truly trusted me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Have you yielded and let me lead? And it doesn't matter if you have one day, one year, decades left on this earth to walk in peace and in right fellowship with God through trust in Jesus Christ. You'll know it. And it'll be glorious, because in your heart you'll have security and affirmation of your destiny beyond this world and beyond this life. And he said to her, it's appointed for him the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Jesus and Jesus alone unfolds the true intentions, motivations of each heart. We say things with our mouth. We communicate words, but he knows really what's going on behind the scenes. People will be humbled and people will be lifted up by God. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. He's saying this to Mary. What a pain. What a gruesome pain for her to witness the rejection of her son. Imagine her marveling, watching him grow up. You know, kids, there's some young people in here in this room. I can look at every one of you. You're good kids. See, Mom? See, Dad? He knows. But you're not perfect. There's sometimes, somewhere already in your life, you've missed God's mark. You've dishonored God. You disobeyed your parents. Guess what? God says, you missed my mark. They're my authority in your life. Do you know Jesus? He didn't sin. He never missed a mark. He never disobeyed his mother and father when his mother and father's instruction did not contradict his heavenly father's instruction. So yeah, he hung back and went to the temple when his parents said, come on, we're going back home. So don't you do that. You don't stay at the store. You go with your parents. Get in the car. You're not Jesus. But he was perfect, and she marveled at that. And then when he began his earthly ministry at 30 after his own baptism, and he began to teach and preach the higher principle, not just the law of God, but the heart of God, the character of God, the way to God, and saw the miraculous things that he did, just pondering that, taking that in. And then to see the rejection. And then to see the lies and the accusations and the vile things said and done to her own son, God in the flesh. The one whom she cried out in her beautiful prayer, O God and Savior. She herself, knowing she needed a Savior, and it would be her very own son, and that would be accomplished for her when he died on the cross for her own sin, for even she was not perfect. And then to see that sword that pierced her own heart, not literally, but you can imagine as a mother, Jesus. And Simeon is telling her that this will happen, preparing her for that. How about you? There's been grief in your heart and in your life. As you walk closely with the Lord, He will prepare you for those things. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. So he says, stay in me. Stay close to me. It will not spare you of trouble, but you'll have my presence in the midst of trouble. And as you open this word, and as you at times need to read it out loud because your mind is racing and you're so anxious, I will speak to you. I will minister to you. I will give you peace. What are you waiting for in this journey? All of us have hearts that can be divided in multiple different ways. As Christians, we say, oh, no, the Lord has control of all my heart, of everything that I do. I don't compartmentalize anything. Come on. We say it's, oh, we know He's got this place, this area, but there's other areas. And we go, He's a little dull over here. I'm not giving him full access over here. That's a divided heart. It's a struggling heart. He's saying to you, will you lay that down? Will you open up those doors? Will you just take your hand off because you're holding it? You're not letting me access that area of your life. Let go. If you just let it go, commit it to me, wait on me, trust me, you let me into that area of your life, watch what I will do. I'm going to do some cleaning. And that cleaning will bring great refreshment to you. Into your heart, into your life, there will be refreshment by my presence. For some of us, it's like having a board meeting. Our lives is a board meeting. And you have every single person who's a part of the board in your heart. The board of entertainment, that chairman of that committee, the one over here, the board of chairman of my family, of my work, of my social life, whatever it may be, my faith, all of these board members, and they're constantly fighting because they want attention over here. No, we need to put our resources over here. The battle, on and on and on. And some of us, we've convinced ourselves, oh, Jesus, you're welcome. You can be on the board. He says, no. I'm going to be chairman of the board, and I'm going to dismiss every other vice chairman. You need to let me lead. Maybe the thing you've been waiting for, that the Lord has spoken to you about, He's saying, I can't show it to you. I can't speak it to you until you let go of any other lead thought in your heart and in your mind and let me have full control, fully yield, and watch what I'll do. Waiting well, surrendering, fully surrendering to the Spirit, being sensitive to the Spirit, and being satisfied with God's answer, even though it may contain some seasons of great difficulty, challenge, and trial. He is faithful to you. Even when we struggle being faithful to Him, He says, I get it. I'm still going to be faithful to you because that's my character. I'm not asking you to be me. I'm me. I know you. I know everything about you. And I still adopted you and I still called you. Hopefully He has. You've heard His voice calling your name. And you've responded personally to His call on your name. And maybe today, this Christmas, you're going to respond. I lead you in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you that in the perfect time and in the perfect season and in the perfect way, the Messiah, the consolation of Israel, Lord, the peace, the sacrifice, the Redeemer for all has come upon the earth. And Lord, right here in this room, precious souls, each person here represents someone that you love. That they're here today and they're being reminded of who Jesus is, Lord, Savior, Redeemer. And if there is a precious soul who recognizes that you are not the authority in their life, they have yet to yield to Jesus and to say, Lord Jesus, I believe on you. I believe that you went to the cross for me because I missed the mark. I've sinned and rebelled against God. I need forgiveness. I cannot cleanse myself. Come into my life. Cleanse my heart personally. Jesus, I receive you. I hear your call on my heart. I hear you calling me right now. It's pressing. You're knocking on the door. You're not banging the door open. You're not kicking it open. You're giving me that responsibility to open that door and welcome you in for them to say, that one individual, or many right now, Jesus, I receive you. What a glorious, wonderful reminder that Jesus tells us, I give that one the right to become a child of God, adopted, because you've heard the call and you've responded. That's good news this Christmas day. And for many, maybe the majority in this room, already children of yours, precious children, because we've heard the call in the past. There's something we're waiting for. And we confess to you, we haven't waited well as we ought to. Thank you for the reminder today that we can look to a witness who had gone before us, such as Simeon, and maybe adjust how we're waiting and find peace in the waiting instead of heartache and anxiety. Help us, God, in Jesus' name, amen.